pods. "Help me move these," he yelled. Barry McCarple emerged from the furnace room, a brawny 20-year-old, sweaty and sooty. He had kept indoors for most of this trip and carefully avoided any member of the posse. None of the Lamborn family had mentioned that he was an Ivet. The noise came to an abrupt halt. Carl was very aware of the apprehensive faces focused on him, the silent appeal for guidance. He held up his hands as Barry started to haul the pods off the hatchway. "Okay, we're riding on some sort of rock, so I want all the kids to slowly make their way forwards. Slowly, mind, then the women, not the men. You'll upset the balance with that much weight forward. And whoever those horses belong to, calm them down now." Parents hustled their children towards the prow. A hushed murmur swept round the adults. Three men were helping Barry clear the hatchway. Carl lifted off a couple of the pods himself. Then he heard the noise again, but it was distant this time, not from the Swithlands' howl. "What the hell?" He looked up to see the Heysel 100 meters astern. "Carl, what's happening?" Rosemary's voice demanded from the handset. He raised the unit to his mouth. "It's the Heysel, Mum. They've hit it as well." "Bloody hell! What about our hull?" "Tell you in a minute." The last of the pods were cleared away, revealing a 2-meter-square hatch. Carl bent down to unclip the latches. That was when the second sound rang out, a water-muffled thunk of something heavy and immensely powerful slamming into the keel. Swithland gave a small jolt, riding up several centimeters. Some of the more loosely stacked cases and pods tumbled over. The colonists shouted in panic and dismay, and there was a general surge for the prow. One of the horses reared up, forelegs, scraping the air. Carl ripped the hatch open. Thunk! Ripples rolled away from the Swithland as it wallowed about. "Carl!" the handset squawked. He looked down into the hull. The log-feed mechanism took up most of the space below the hatch, a primitive-looking clump of motors, pulley loops and pistons. 2 grab belts ran away to the port and starboard log-holds. The black mayope planks of the hull itself were just visible. Water was welling out of cracks between them. Thunk! Carl stared down in stupefaction as the planks bowed inward. That was mayope wood. Nothing could dint mayope. Thunk! Splinters appeared, long dagger fingers levering apart. Thunk! Water poured in through the widening gaps. An area over 1 meter wide was being slowly hammered upwards. Thunk! Thunk! Swithland was rocking up and down. Equipment and pods rolled about across the half-abandoned afterdeck. Men and women were clinging to the rail, others were spread-eagled on the decking, clawing for a handhold. "It's trying to punch its way in!" Carl bellowed into the handset. "What? What?" his mother shouted back. "There's something below us, something alive. For Christ's sake, get us under way, get us to the shore. The shore, Mum. Go, go!" Thunk! The water was foaming up now, covering the hull planks completely. "Get this shut!" Carl called. He was terribly afraid of what would come through once the hole was big enough. Together he and Barry McCarple slammed the hatch back down, dogging the latches. Thunk! Swithland's hull broke. Carl could hear a long, dreadful tearing sound as the iron-hard wood was wrenched apart. Water seethed in, gurgling and slurping. It ripped the log-feeder from its mountings, crashing it against the decking above. The hatch quaked violently. A gloriously welcome whine from the paddle engines sounded. The familiar slow thrashing of the paddle started up. Swithland turned ponderously for the unbroken rampart of jungle 80 meters away. Carl realized people were sobbing and shouting out. A lot of them must have made it forward. The boat was riding at a downward incline. Thunk! This time it was the after-deck planks. Carl, lying prone next to the hatch, yelled in shock as his feet left the deck from the impact. He twisted round immediately, rolling over 3 times to get clear. Pods bounced and pirouetted chaotically. The horses were going berserk. One of them broke its harness and plunged over the side. Another was kicking wildly. A blood-soaked body lay beside it. Thunk.